Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for servants' girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamb does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Here ends the reading. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Lucy, for the scripture reading. In one of the episodes of the Cosby Show, an American comedy show, Dr. Cliff Huxtable, the principal character, his son, and his two sons-in-law became, of all things, pregnant men. They were all in their final days of conception. At first, I thought it was ridiculous. But as the show went on, I found it funny, and each of them demonstrated the difficulties of childbearing in the way they walked, the way they climbed up and down the stairs, and especially in the way they sat and get up from the sofas. The most comical scene took place in a hospital delivery room. Cliff gave birth to a giant sandwich with all his favorite ingredients and sauces. His son, Theo, gave birth to his dream sports car. One son-in-law gave birth to a naval ship, and Alvin, the other son-in-law, gave birth to something else. Now, can you imagine what it would be like if men all over the world become pregnant and gave birth to their favorite objects of desire? Of course, we know that as far as modern science goes, it is impossible for men to conceive without the womb, although many of them look like they can give birth anytime, right? We all know that fathers are fathers and mothers are mothers. Fathers and mothers are both responsible for the birth of the children, but only mothers gave birth to them. That alone constitutes a huge radical difference between fathers and mothers. As I think about the Cosby Show, one thought dawns on me. No matter what people may say or think, mothers are usually 9 months ahead of everyone else when it comes to knowing, feeling, caring, and caring for the child. Only mothers know what it is like to walk, to climb up and down the stairs, to sit and get up with the child in the womb, and to deliver a child or children in case of twins or triplets. Only mothers know what it is like to give birth to sons and daughters. The agony and the ecstasy, the fears and the joys, the longing and the waiting. In a sense, as I prayed earlier on, mothers are God co-creators in the propagation of the human race. Perhaps this is one reason why the wise, sovereign, almighty Creator God commands us, written very clearly in Exodus chapter 20 as well as Ephesians chapter 6. And the command goes this way: honor your father and mother. To honor our mother is to respect, to obey, and to love our mother. In fact, God takes this command so seriously that he gave us another command. And in this case, I refer to Exodus 31, verse 17. And there it says, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. I know this is something very difficult to swallow, isn't it? But it's in the scripture. And if we carry out this command literally, I doubt many of us will still be alive. Especially in the light of our fallen human society, where we have not only degraded a good name, but we have also diminished the sacred role of mothers, which of course includes the fathers as well. And I'm sure God is hurt when we fail or refuse to honor our mother. Yet I'm also painfully aware, given my pastoral experiences and counseling, some of us may have been very badly hurt by our mother in one way or another. Nevertheless, if we view our mother from God's perspective, one thing is sure: our attitude will change. Indeed, when we know what God's word says about loving, respecting, honoring our mothers, it must transform us from the inside out. It's not just something we know in our head, but it's something we show coming from our heart as well. So let's turn our attention to God's portrait of the mother in the closing passage in the book of Proverbs. I'm referring to chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. Now, given the sharing and the testimony of three of our mothers today, I will not take time to expound on the rich and profound meaning of this poetic passage. And I'm confident that if each of us read it slowly and thoughtfully, we will see God's idea, indeed God's ideal of the mother. And if you take time to meditate on the passage, say when you get home, before you sleep tonight, or whatever time that suits you, meditate on this passage, and I'm sure you'll get an even clearer picture of how we want to honor our mothers, even in the light of today's special day. Now, briefly, let me point out three things about what God thinks of the mother. Firstly, there is the worth of the mother. In God's opinion, in verse 10, in God's word it says, she is worth far more than rubies. God also says, in verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But what? But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is what I call high and holy praise. If you ask me why, the answer is this. You see, God's praise is unlike the praise of earthly men and women. Human praise cannot be equal or parallel divine praise. And here in the Word of God, it stated very clearly the worth of the mother. Secondly, there is the work of the mother. And we see in four comprehensive ways. One in relation to the father of her children, of course, the husband. And so we read in verses 11 and 12. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Is that all? No. Two, in relation to her family, God says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I can't help but wonder how many of the husbands here said that to the wife. You know, if you said something truly from your heart, she would just, oh, float like an angel. You surpass them all. How great would that be, isn't it? The praise of the husband and the children is an echo of God's praise in heaven. But like I said earlier, when it comes to praise, there's nothing like the praise of God when mother stands honorably in God's presence, isn't it? Then three, in relation to her own household. The verses are there, verses 13 to 19. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets out while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her land does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the disfust and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Is that all concerning about her relation to the household? No. There is verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her husband and does not eat the bread of idleness. In God's eyes, the mother is the model of three important things in all of our life experiences. What are they? One, she's a model of energy. Two, of efficiency. And last but not least, economy. You had a mother who fulfills all these virtues in her life. Blessed will be the entire household. And last but not least, we see the work of the mother in relation to her neighbors. God says, verses 20 to 25, indeed, it is not just a list for mother to think about, but a mirror to reflect concerning relationship with those outside the family. And there the word of God says, verses 20 to 25, she opened her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchant with treasures. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. In other words, in this passage, if I just explain very simply, her neighbors think of her as kind, helpful, and friendly. She's also the prime reason for her husband's public success and her family's fine attire and appearance. In other words, as they say, behind every successful man is a? Behind every successful husband father is? Mother. You all know the answers, clever you. So you see all that. There's a third thing I want to say. There's the word of the mother. There's the work of the mother. And then there are the words of the mother. And I like the way the scripture put it. Just one verse, so short and simple, but very, very powerful. verse is found in verse 26. And God commands this. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, this is on my script. When I read a verse like that, wonder. It is indeed a tall order. All right, I remember this is not a put-down on woman. All right, growing up as a kid, my neighbors would tell me there are four ways to communicate with the world. There's a telephone, there's a television, and then there is telegram. The fourth way, tell a woman. And it was spread all over the world. You know? Of course, it's not just a woman. Man can be guilty as charged. But here in a whole passage, just one verse. She speaks wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You see, in God's view, wisdom should be the substance, and faithful or godly teaching should be the spirit of a mother's speech. It's like saying, anytime a mother opens her mouth, so to speak, the children better listen and listen well. Now, it should be obvious to all of us that a biblical portrait reveals an ideal mother. I'm sure if my late mother can be here, she will say, I have proudly raised 6 children, but I don't think I can ever measure up to the standard of perfection. And I'm sure all mothers will heartily agree, right? Nevertheless, I ask that you take a moment now to ponder on the biblical teaching on the worth, the work, and the words of mother. And I'm sure you will begin to appreciate the special roles and responsibilities of mother. I'm also sure we want to honor them for what they aspire to be and to do. We all know there are no perfect or even near perfect mothers, but there is no reason why we should honor them less. And when mothers seek to live by the teachings of the scripture, we must honor them, like what we seek to do today. I close with a story by Charles Swindoll. In his book entitled Glorying Wives in Family Life, he tells a story about 4 scholars who were arguing with each other over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with very high confidence of accuracy from the original text. A third man preferred Moffat's translation because of his quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of the phrase that captured the attention of a reader. After giving the issue further thought, the 4th scholar said, I personally preferred my mother's translation. While the other scholar chuckled, he responded, yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation I ever saw. Isn't that great? May the same thing be said of all the mothers of Faith Bible Baptist Church and beyond. And so now I gladly hand over the time to the 3 mothers who will speak on behalf of all of us, really. I think we'll start with what Ming-Ha said, the mother of mothers among us all, Lily. And thank God the son, Yen, is here with her today. Yen? Right at the corner.